I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level. Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We are so excited to be back talking about Girls Next Door, Season 3, Episode 1, Snow Place Like Home. We're into the second half of the episode.
So getting into the episode.
The gates are opening again.
Yes.
We kind of started this episode with the gates opening at night, and then middle of the episode, it's like the gates are opening again, but it's 5 a.m.,
and it's Christmas Eve morning.
And the ice truck is driving up the driveway. And we talked about how expensive this was. It was like $10,000
in
2006 money. And then, so it shows you like waking up to see the snow. Was this shot out of context, or do you just look absolutely amazing in the morning with like a full face?
Oh, I just look absolutely amazing when I wake up. No, I'm sure they had me, because it's 10:09. I don't usually sleep till 10 o'clock unless it was a day after a party.
Like reenacting the wake up, like wake up and see the snow.
Yeah, I think they had me go back to bed and do a whole like getting up Christmas Eve morning scene. I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty positive that that's what happened. But I think this is interesting too, because I go to take Winnie outside, and when I'm going, I stop and look out the window because I can see all the snow being blown in. And this is that scene that Molly was talking about, how it's one of her favorite scenes of the whole series, because it's one camera guy and he's literally films me getting out of bed, going and looking out the window, and we see my point of view. But then he asked me to stay there, and he goes running outside and goes and then gets the other point of view from me looking out the window. And I thought it was a cool shot, but like as an editor, Molly was like, no, that was like incredible camera work, like so good.
It's a lot of work. And did you try to see Kevin in the scene? Because I know she said you can see Kevin for a minute in like the snowball fight scene that's a little bit later on.
I didn't go back and look. I didn't do that.
I couldn't see him, but I take her word for it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's in there. But when you're editing and you're literally going through things frame by frame,
you see stuff nobody sees.
Yes.
You know what's funny is I was trying to like make a demo reel a few years into my time at the mansion, and I was using like any kind of footage I could find, like things I would do at the mansion, like MTV Cribs or like tours I would lead on camera. And I would edit it. But back then it was like up in the video department, there was like an editing machine where you're literally like turning knobs. It was so funny. But you're seeing it frame by frame. And I would see one of the mean girls like rolling her eyes at me. Like you couldn't see it when it was like normal speed. But when you're doing it frame by frame, you can see her being like rolling her eyes and stuff.
God.
Because when we did MTV Cribs, that was one of the few times that Hef like kind of gave me a special spot. And like there was only room in the doorway for one person. So I got to be the person there. And somebody else was not happy about that.
Oh, I believe it. I was so shocked when I got to be a part of that, because that MTV Cribs, when that was shooting, I was like brand new. Like I wasn't even considering myself like a girlfriend yet or anything like that. So I was like, oh, I'm get to be part of it.
Yeah.
Like I was just out there for fun in the sun, and they're like, we're shooting MTV Cribs. You have to come be a part of it. And I was like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Huh? Me? Okay. Had no clue.
Yeah.
No clue that was happening.
That's so funny. So did you have white Christmases as a kid at all? Like, does it snow in Lodi?
It does not snow in Lodi.
Oh.
I think maybe it did one time like 50 years ago or something. And that was like a weird, crazy fluke, and it melted the second it hit the ground. But no, it definitely doesn't. I had a white Christmas maybe like once or twice, because my grandma lived in a cabin. Well, it wasn't really a cabin. That makes it sound tiny. I would love to see the house now, because in my head, I feel like it was this huge mansion. It was three stories, but it was three stories because it was on a hill. You know? But in my head, it was huge. And I bet it's not that big if I went back to it now. But she lived way up in Pollock Pines, which is near Tahoe, Placerville area, if anybody knows California at all. And definitely snows up there. And we would go to her house for Christmas sometimes. So I've had a white Christmas, but not as my natural thing happening.
Had some very white Christmases, very deep snow.
I bet. See, that's magical to me. Like, I would love that, to wake up at home and have like a white Christmas.
Well, not only that, but like we lived in the middle of nowhere, so there was not a footprint on this snow. Like, it looked like,
wow,
Dickensian chic, like your outfit. Like, you just really went back in time.
Yeah.
It was like very Wonderland.
Yeah. So I was very excited about having the snow there, even if it was manufactured.
And then you see us like looking out the window in anticipation, and you see the snow getting set up and the staff is having a snowball fight. This is where you can allegedly see Kevin. So if anybody spots
him, but we weren't allowed to go out yet because they wanted like everybody together going out and seeing the snow and stuff. So we are literally standing in the dining room window, all dressed in our snow gear and stuff. And it reminds me of, do you remember those old commercials? I think it was for Mervyn's.
Open. Yeah. Like I have my nose and my boobs pressed on the glass. It's something. And then they cut to this confessional of me. And I say, I'm talking about the staff, like having a snowball fight. And I'm like, the more people who can enjoy the snow, the better. And I thought that sounded kind of odd, but I know where it's coming from. They're asking me, so what do you think of like the staff playing around in the snow? Like, who cares? Like, what am I supposed to say? Oh, they shouldn't play in the snow.
That's exactly what they were trying to get from you. And of course, everybody should enjoy it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I think even some staff brought their kids later to play 100%. In it and stuff. Like, we're doing this big deal thing. Like, everybody should get the most of
it. It shouldn't be, like, wasted on just, like, three people.
Yeah, three people and, like, 15 minutes of camera time.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And when this snow was happening and the snow was getting set up, this was one of the rare times when our producer, Kevin Burns, was actually there in the field. Like, I know we've talked in the past about sometimes he would come to the house and do like confessional interviews with us if he wanted to get something really specific. But he was just out there in a folding chair, like on the edge of the lawn, just sitting there.
Like a proud dad.
He was just like, had his hands folded on his stomach and was just like so dreamy eyed and so like, he was loving it.
He was loving it.
And then you see like kind of snow coming down and stuff, but those are actually bubbles.
They
were
bubbles, yeah.
Kind of like when you go to Disneyland and they have like the snow on Main Street that's like coming out of a light post and it's just like bubbles.
Yeah. But it's cool. And at night, it really makes it feel magical.
Yeah, it's a good effect.
Mm-hmm. So then the next scene, they show Kendra's family pulling up and it's her mom and her grandma and Colin.
I feel like this scene was a real scene that happened on Christmas Eve, but I feel like it creates a false vibe for the viewer because when I'm watching this and I'm trying to think about no preconceived notions from my end or my experience, I kind of try to watch it. Like, what do I think a viewer sees? I feel like it creates the impression that like we got to see our families on Christmas, which definitely isn't the case. Like our families were always very welcome if they wanted to come to certain things. And obviously Kendra's family lives close, so she's kind of the only one that like has that luxury regularly. But I feel like it kind of gives the impression that like, oh, we're with our families and our families are there on Christmas. And that wasn't what it was. And even for Kendra, they were there on Christmas Eve. They weren't like there on Christmas.
Right.
They like went back and did their own thing or whatever.
Right. And they show all the snow is finally complete with the Playboy ice sculpture.
Oh, yeah. They have these like Playboy ice sculptures out there and like an ice sculpture of a snowman, which is great because later it gives us the base to build a snowman with.
Yeah.
So they cut to Kendra in confessional and she says something to the effect of, oh, when I looked out and saw the snow, I was like, I'm going to get my snowboard. And she's acting like she's so excited. Yes. But that was the furthest thing from the truth. And I'm going to need you to like break this down for me because I was so into the Christmas of it all that I vaguely remember this, but I don't really remember the push and pull.
Yeah.
And like the battle.
So like I said, it's been so long since I've seen these episodes. And when I was watching this scene right now, I was like, wait, what? Because she acts like she's so excited about this, like totally into it, anticipating it, like gonna do her snowboard and everything. And this was not her attitude at all. I don't know how to even like put this all into words, but she hated that we were doing anything. She refused to come out of her room. She locked her door. Nobody could go in there and talk to her. She was being a total brat for hours. Well, for a long time, we weren't even allowed to go out there because they wanted us all to go out together. All the other girls are showing up. She won't even get out of bed or come down. The producers are trying to talk to her. Hef's trying to coax her out. Later, Hef gets involved. He wasn't up yet. Then her family comes and they go up into her room and are trying to get her to come down and participate. She was being a complete brat, arguing with everybody and refusing to do it. She thought it was dumb.
She thought the snow was dumb?
Yes. And then she also said she didn't want to come out and she didn't want to be a part of the show and she didn't want to do any of that stuff and because she had acne.
Okay. It's weird to me because I don't remember too. I remember it happened. And obviously, like, we've had, like, Becca and other producers and editors on who've, like, totally verified this. I do remember we were all very much cheerleading her to come out. And I do remember saying, you should bring your snowboard, like go out there and snowboard. Cause I know she always has to like find a way to make it her own. Yes. And I thought that would be cute for the show. Show one girl sledding, show one girl making a snowman, show one girl snowboarding, yes. stuff like that. So I do remember like very much cheerleading that on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was kind of checked out otherwise.
Because everybody was trying to coax, like, yeah. what can we do to make her come out to participate? Like, cause she just was refusing, like outright refusing. And this is kind of the second time we're seeing this. She was refusing to do the dog birthday party. She eventually does do it, but they really had to push and pull for her to come out there. And she was like super late and didn't want to be there. And then this is the next time she's doing it. And it was like an all out battle. Like it was like she was not coming down. And the producers were freaking out. Like, what could they do? I think Kevin was freaking out. Like everybody was like trying to coax her in there and she was just refusing. So when I see her so enthusiastic and in commentary or not commentary, but in her interview, and I see it cut to look like she's just out there and enjoying it and anticipating it as much as everybody else, I'm just completely blown away that they were even able to get that, because she doesn't come out. We ended up having to start without her and going out there and doing it. And then later she comes out and she does kind of act like nothing's wrong, but she just sort of sticks to herself, does her own thing, isn't like participating with the rest of us. And it's just like the divide was so great. And I don't know why. I don't know what the problem was. I really don't.
Yeah. And I don't think it was any like fights amongst the three of us. No. It was just like, I mean, like I said last week, I think there are probably a lot of people in her ear telling her she's too good for the show.
Well, see, that's what's happening right now. So in between, like right here, somewhere right in here, she gets a manager that's in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So she's got people in her ear telling her that she's the star of the show and she should be doing her own thing, that she's better than that show, and like all kinds of things they're telling her. So it really affects her attitude and her personality among us and about filming anything that isn't just directly something that she came up with and wanted to do, which is very rare because she also doesn't bring any ideas to the table.
Yeah. And it's weird to me, too, because the first thing we shot for this season was my birthday party. And she participated in that. Granted, it's like her own way where it's like the trope of like she doesn't want to do it. So she has to like make it her own. But still, she participated in it. So I wonder what changed between then and Christmas Eve.
Well, even your birthday party, I remember her being just very like, like, obviously she had to do it, but she wasn't like into it in any way. And yeah, it just kind of got worse from there. Like Christmas Eve, she's refusing to come out and participate in the snow.
Yeah. And it's so strange. And I get it from production standpoint, like this is supposed to be the holidays and it's supposed to be very family. So you want everybody there. And like you said, they were trying to make us wait until everybody was there to even go out.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. Like, I really don't get why this day, like why so difficult.
I don't
on
know.
This day.
But even her family was like, oh, we can't get her to come down. She won't, like,
yeah.
Even they were battling with it. So everybody. I honestly think it took Hef going up there and telling her something. I don't know what they said up there, but I think that that's what ultimately brought her down.
Yeah. How did you feel about it at the time? Were you like offended? Did you take it personally? Were you just kind of like aware of it, but like, I don't care. I just want to go outside.
No, I was definitely well aware of it. Felt sort of, I don't want to say involved because I wasn't up there trying to get her to come down or anything like that. I definitely didn't think there was anything I could do to help the situation, but very annoyed and irritated because there's a lot of things she's not participating in. She had attitude about your birthday. She didn't want to be involved in the gifts that we were giving to that family. Mm-hmm. There were so many things that she didn't want anything to do with at that time that I was really feeling irritated and annoyed.
Yeah. At the time, I remember like knowing that she was having a hard time coming down because we had to wait for her and everything like that. And I remember like cheerleading, like, oh, you should bring your snowboard. Like, wouldn't that be so fun? Da, 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 da. But I don't think I cared as much about it as everybody else. Like in hindsight, I feel really bad, especially for the producers who were expected to get her to come out of the room and she just wouldn't, you know, comply because then they had to deal with Kevin getting mad and things like that. And that's always hard. But in the moment, I certainly didn't take it personally. And kind of my feeling about it was, and I know not everybody agrees with this, but I always felt like production would go super out of their way to like make sure Kendra had her own scenes and that she was present and that she was shining and the attention was on her and things like that. So when she chose to not show up for something, whether it was like our gift buying thing or something like that, I was kind of like, okay, well, that's fine because that kind of evens things out. Like that gives us a chance to have a scene and that gives us a chance to shine. So I was, my attitude was kind of like, I didn't like it when she shit on us. Like I thought that was like, if you don't want to go to a dog birthday party, fine, but why do you have to act like we're so fucking uncool? And behind the scenes for years and years, you're still talking about it.
Right.
But when she wouldn't show up to things, I was just kind of like, okay, that's fine. Because I knew she was always going to get her scenes, but that gave us a chance. So that's kind of how I felt about it.
Yeah. And then I just feel like there's no reason why you wouldn't want to do this. Like I don't understand. Like, okay, dog birthday party, fine. But like this, why would you hate this? And it's Christmas Eve. Like,
and we just weren't, looking at season three as a whole, we weren't filming very many days that month. We filmed my birthday party, which was like a few weeks before. We filmed, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas stuff. And then like the very last day of January, we filmed, as we'll talk about in the next episode, going to the Rose Parade to like help with the floats. But she didn't do that either.
Yeah, she refused.
She opted out of like all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy to me. Like, we're doing a stupid reality show. Like just have fun with it.
So on a happier note, all the girls show up, all the other girls, everybody else is super excited. Stacey's there, Crystal's there, all the girls from across the street.
Oh yeah, even Hef, everybody's there with like cute little winter outfits. Even Hef's like super excited.
Yeah, staff is excited, everyone. So we're all getting ready to go out there. We're all in the dining room. We were waiting for her to come down. She didn't. And Hef makes a comment, and I want to bring it up here because I've heard some people or saw some people in the messages even bring this up.
Oh yeah.
He says, good little girls get gifts, but the bad little girls get lots of gifts. And I say, I've been naughty.
Yeah. Did you cringe watching that?
I did.
And you know, like, I know he's just like being Hugh Hefner and saying the lines that are funny and stuff. And I'm sure I laughed about it at the time. But watching it back, I'm just like, it just doesn't age well. I'm just like, cringe.
Yeah.
And in commentary on this episode, I'm talking about how much I hate how they lower third Stacey and Crystal and identify them as like Hef's former girlfriends. And in commentary, I'm like, it's like just announcing that you've been demoted or something, which isn't even like the whole reason it bugs me. It just bugs me that they're just like simplified into that.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. And like I've said before, like I get it why the show wanted to do it in the beginning, like because it's just like highlighting how bizarre this world is. Like, oh, he's been with that girl. Yeah. And he's been with that girl too. And she's still hanging around. And, you know,
yeah.
Like they want to do like the whole sideshow of it. But like we're in season three now.
Yeah.
Let's move along.
I know.
And we never did.
Yeah. So we go outside and we immediately start tubing and sledding down the hill, and Colin's out there and he's making like a bump so that when Kendra does come out, she can like do a little snowboarding jump off of it.
But they edit her in to make it look like she was there immediately, which I don't think was the case.
It
I think they
the
finally
case.
Gave up and was like, okay, you guys can finally go out there since we're fucking losing light, you know?
Yeah. No, we had done like all we were sledding. We were like almost done before she came out and was like, okay. And then she wants the world to like stop and watch her snowboard and do her thing. Even Hef went sledding.
Yeah.
Which I think was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I ride down together, and we're riding down together on a Playboy surfboard. And so I just have to tell you guys, there's a company called Whalen Surfboards, and they custom made me a surfboard and sent it to me. And this surfboard that I got that we're using for sledding right here was my inspiration for the surfing episode that we're going to get to in season four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So because I got that surfboard and I was like, I want to use this. Like, I want to learn to surf. But, oh, I want to go surfing, but I don't even know how to surf. So I need to learn how to surf. Oh, that would be a cute episode idea. So I put it down as like one of the ideas that I had for an upcoming episode. And it's one that got picked up. So a lot of people attribute that to Kendra's idea, but it was not. And this was the inspiration for it. They just sent me this surfboard. I don't know if we all got them or if they just sent me one or what. For some reason, I feel like they just sent me one. And I thought that was so weird.
Well, in the Horse Be With You episode, there are two in your room. And one is the one I have now that you gave me.
Oh, so maybe they sent us all each one?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but I just know that was the click.
Yeah.
The light bulb went off and I was like, ooh, a surfing episode. Mm-hmm. And then of course I have to make it the most by going, well, can Kelly Slater do this? Surfing lessons?
How did we get all these good people like Kelly Slater and Shaun White on the show, honestly? Like, I'm surprised looking back.
I don't know. Oh, I think they both probably were fans of Playboy and stuff, too. So it's Playboy related and Hef related. So I feel like that was probably part of the motivation. Plus, we were the number one show on E. So I think
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I know. Stacey's trying to make a snow angel.
You know what I say in commentaries? I'm talking about how I went to a psychic, which was Rowena at the Palms.
Yeah.
That we go to later on Girls Next Door. Yeah. And she said in a past life, Hef was my son.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. But I can almost believe it because I feel like when I was with him, I was like oddly protective of him. Like I can see the vibe kind of.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Like I believe that. I believe in reincarnation and that we travel around in the same soul groups and like get reincarnated together and stuff. And it's just like a vibe.
Huh. I love all that stuff though.
Yeah.
So then we're making a snowman. And of course, it can't be PG.
Oh, yeah. I build a dick on the snowman. And I'm glad they brought us the ice snowman because the fake snow that they were making, it wasn't really like as sticky as like a normal snow. Like you couldn't have like rolled a big snowball. So we just had to like pack the snow onto the ice snowman.
Yeah.
And I put a giant dick on it, which E blurred. And I think that's interesting to note because they refused to blur my very graphic chocolate vagina in later seasons, which I'm still very
bitter about. Well, they don't blur anything of our nudity, but an ice dick.
Well, no, they blurred the nudity on the show.
Oh, right. For the actual show.
Yeah. They blurred everything except my chocolate vagina. They blurred the other chocolate parts. And I feel like, this is way jumping ahead in the timeline, I feel like they were editing that episode because it was a season 5 episode after I decided to leave. And they're like, let's screw this bitch. Because in the episode, like I thought, like chocolate vagina was my idea, but I thought it was going to look a lot more vague. Like I didn't think it was going to be this like hyper down to the microscopic detail, photo realistic.
Yeah.
And you can see in the footage, I'm horrified by it. And then in commentary again, I say I'm horrified by it. And I can't believe they aired that without blurring it because it's the most graphic thing you've ever seen. And I feel like they might have done that on purpose. I have my suspicions that like Kevin was pissed at me for leaving. So it's like, let's make this not cute.
Ugh. Yeah, and then it cuts to Kendra in an interview, and she says it's definitely felt more Christmassy with the snow being here. It was so beautiful, and she looks like she's having just the greatest time in the world, and she gives Hef a big kiss.
Oh, yeah, they have to do, which is like that same formula they do with her every time, except this time they don't show the struggle to get her to down.
Yeah, because she wouldn't allow the struggle to be filmed. Like, they wanted to at least send cameras in there to talk about why she didn't want to go out there or what she was dealing with, and she wouldn't even let them in. So, like, she was, like, refusing. Like, not even refusing on camera, but, like, participating to on camera refusing, if that
makes
sense, you know? She was just, like, door locked, nobody bother me, don't come in, I'm not getting up, I'm not coming out, period.
And before we even build the snowman, when it's just an ice snowman, Stacey leans over to put her tongue on it. And as a viewer, I'm like, no,
I know.
Stop. Because I'm seeing that scene in A Christmas Story.
Yes, I'm so scared. God. I'm so scared.
And then they show my dog Duke perched up in the vanity window.
Yeah.
Which I love that they show that because he would do that all the time. And it was very cute.
And so we go and get all the pets.
Yeah,
and bring them all out.
Which I love those scenes. They're so like visceral to me. Like I see Duchess in the snow and like my instinct is I want to pick her up. And like in my mind, I can feel like what it feels like to like pick her up and her weight and stuff.
Totally. Like I'm going down and I sled with Winnie in my arms and I can feel what it felt like to hold her and feel her like bouncing around in my arms as we were going down and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think all of them had a really good time in the snow.
I think so, too. It was so cute.
In commentary, I talk about how I brought Gizmo down and she was doing pretty good walking around the snow. And then Martini started chasing after her.
Aww.
And then I had to go running after her because she like freaked out. So, yeah.
Well, that'd be scary to possibly lose the cat outside.
I know. Well, and I told you it's happened before.
Yeah.
She's gotten out. So, but when they're scared and they go running off like that, I feel like, oh, it would be really hard to find her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it was Martini. It could have been Rascal, but it was one of her dogs.
So for the snowman, I made a snow Hef with like a pipe and the hat.
And the dick.
Yeah, the dick. His smoking jacket. And I picked a smoking jacket that Brian Alea said, like, oh, this is his least favorite one, or oh, this one's not a big deal, or whatever. But then it turned out later, Hef said that was his favorite one, and he was pissed at me for using it because it, like, got all wet and stuff. And I'm like,
that's weird. I feel like Brian would know exactly which ones he uses all the time and or doesn't
like,
use.
Or, like, why didn't I know? It was weird. And, like, it just got wet. Like, have you heard of a dryer?
Right. Gosh, I feel like even looking at it, I feel like it's one of his lesser used ones. Maybe he was just being a dick and saying that.
Well, that happened a lot with me. He liked to just piss on everything I did, basically.
Yeah.
And find a problem with it.
Did you hear Hef totally break the fourth wall too? Like, we're all posing with doing a photo, like a group mm-hmm. photo with a snowman and stuff. And he says, oh, E's, and the dick is on it. And he's like, oh, E's really going to love that.
Yeah.
So he like totally refers to the network that
it's
we're on.
So funny. I think it's funny they left that in, but I'm surprised they left that in.
I am
they
too.
Really didn't like the breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. And then the next scene is Christmas Eve dinner at the mansion. Cars start arriving. All the twinkle yeah. lights are on. It's so pretty.
And you see like Hef's regular buffet guests are the type of people that come to Christmas Eve and they're like gathered around with Hef watching the snow.
Yeah.
And there's a really tall guy standing next to Hef. Who is that?
I think I have that in my notes too. I'm like, who is this guy? But
because he wasn't a regular.
Molly said that some of the editor staff or like some of the show staff like that we didn't meet had also come to see the snow and stuff. And one of them brought their kids.
I feel like this guy was somebody on Hef's list, though. It was just like a lesser known person because he looks really familiar. And I know that you and I, when we would get the big like Christmas Eve group photos back, we would quiz each other like, who's that person? Who's that? Because it's important to us to like know everybody's names.
Yeah.
And sometimes there would be like straggler people that somehow like were on the holiday list, but they didn't really come to like the regular buffets. So we didn't really know them.
Yeah.
You'd think it would be the opposite way. You'd think like the Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner would be a tighter guest list than the regular buffets, but it kind of didn't seem like that.
Right.
It was odd.
It was odd. I don't know how they figured out that list.
Yeah. And then one of Hef's friends, Chuck McCann, who we get to know a little bit better in this season, is going down on the sled. He falls off the sled. And in commentary, we say he got a bloody nose.
Yeah.
And it's just fun for us to see all these people again, especially since Chuck has like passed away. Is Betty McCann still alive, his wife?
I don't know for sure, but I think so.
Yeah.
And then you go sledding with Eric
Patisha. We should have her on the show.
Oh my gosh. You go sledding and you're racing Eric Patisha, but you're not wearing underwear.
Yeah, which you can't see that, but like I announced because yeah. I didn't like to wear underwear back then or something. Like Eric Patisha was one of my favorite people. He was so fun. He was actually the son of a woman Hef dated in the 60s, and he was just so fun.
Did I tell you I talked to him not that long ago?
No.
Oh, we were text messaging out of nowhere for some reason.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I'll have to show you.
Tell him I said hi.
I will. And then, of course, Kendra comes down and shows off her snowboarding again. And she's just acting like she loves all of this. And it was like her idea type of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of like all the friends that came for buffet, we're using like questions from our Patreon in this. And most of the time I don't read them like questions. I just kind of like keep them in mind as I'm writing down stuff to talk about. But Amanda from our Patreon asks if Hef would change his schedule for Christmas and Christmas Eve if it like fell on a club night. And we didn't do, like, Christmas and Christmas Eve took priority. So, like, yeah. if that happened on a Wednesday or a Friday, like, we just wouldn't go out.
Right.
That week. Well, we might go out that week on another night because there were clubs in town that would throw Christmas parties.
Yes.
So, like, we didn't slow down for the holidays necessarily, but definitely Christmas Eve and Christmas took priority. We wouldn't still, like, go to the clubs that night.
Well, I don't think the clubs would have been open on Christmas Eve and Christmas night.
That's true.
Anyway, so, yeah, we definitely didn't. I saw another question on there where people were asking if when we actually shot Christmas, but that we must have shot it early or something, but we didn't. We actually shot it on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of 2006. It's just it didn't air till March.
Yeah. So it was the real holiday.
Yeah.
You're seeing the real thing. Also on Patreon, somebody's asking us if, like, the mansion celebrated any Jewish holidays. And no, because it was just like Hef's house. So it was just like what he celebrated. And somebody asked me like if any of the girlfriends were Jewish, not while I was there. Barbie Benton was. And I don't know what they celebrated together, but
yeah.
And I'm sure for like staff, there were like Jewish holidays and stuff. That's very big in LA.
Yeah. I don't think there were any Jewish girlfriends in our time frame.
Yeah.
That I know.
Maybe in Barbie's time.
Yeah.
They did a little something.
So then we all go back inside and everybody's mingling. And that was one of my favorite times of the holidays when you go in the Great Hall and they have the eggnog set up and the Christmas music is playing. All the decorations are up and everybody's dressed up, or at least most people are dressed up. I did see in this video, some people did not try to dress up. But most people did.
Oh, I didn't notice. That's so funny. People coming up in the casual wear.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
That's so funny.
You didn't even try. But yeah.
Yeah. And you see baby Treece. Victoria's holding Treece.
Yes.
Very cute. And you can see at the dinner table, there's a very quick shot of Mary talking to Kendra. And you can tell the average viewer wouldn't know, but just us, because we were there and we knew the situation. You can tell that Mary's having a little talk. Like, are you okay? And she's like,
yeah.
Like, it's very that vibe.
Yeah, definitely. And then in interview, you say everyone comes out of the woodwork for Christmas Eve. It shows, and then it shows like a wide shot of the dining room, and it's just like packed.
Mm-hmm. And you get a really good shot. Like, I know, like us, a lot of you guys are very interested in the food. You get really good shots of like what we ate during the holidays, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the hors d'oeuvre spreads and like all the meats at the buffet and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I was also thinking it'd be fun to have one of the chefs come on and talk thoroughly about all the food and all the different holidays and all that stuff that we had.
Oh, I think so too. And just, I'm sure the chefs saw some shit because they weren't just cooking for like half and his guests. They were cooking for like the rental parties in the backyard and like all the crazy shit.
Yeah. And it would be interesting too, like when girls came and tested, like did anybody have any like weird requests or like turn food away or like,
yeah.
Like I just curious all the stories. Mm-hmm. Plus it'd be interesting, like what was the difference between like the stuff Hef ordered versus the buffet stuff versus what the girlfriends were ordering? Like just, I don't know, who did the grocery shopping?
Oh, yeah, I still have questions to this day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know how I'm obsessed with cookie drawers. And, you know, for the Patreon or Instagram or somewhere, I went online to try and find a picture of the cookie drawers. And I did. Some food blog got a picture of the cookie drawers after we left. And there was a whole thing of cookies that said, for Trish, which I assume was Trisha Frick, who was a girlfriend after we left. And I'm curious what her cookie was.
I'm curious, too.
Maybe someone knows.
That's crazy that she had a whole batch of cookies always on hand for her.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I would have said that, they would have been like,
oh, no, I think we could have. We just didn't think of it. Yeah.
I mean, I never even hardly ate the cookie.
Yeah. Anyway, and so. I think it was probably the same thing as like with Hef's cookies. Like other people could probably have them. They just want to make sure there were some for her.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
I would have never have thought to ask for something like that.
I had a whole menu. Which I didn't remember until Bryant reminded me. And I remember when Bryant brought that up, of course, there's some trolls who want to chime in and talk about like how high maintenance I am and stuff. But I felt like me having a menu made shit easier on everybody because like I order, like I'm on the spectrum. Of course, I order my meals the exact same way, the exact same time, every little sauce, every little thing. So it's easier if people have my menu of like the 10 different things I order and it's just there and it's easy rather than me getting on the phone every time. And somebody has to write down, okay, so you need this sauce. And da, 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 da,
yeah,
it just makes the whole thing more streamlined.
Yeah.
So there.
I wish I had a menu because I could never think of what I wanted to order.
Yeah.
Just like now, I can't think of what I want to make all the time. And then I'm opening a present at the table and it's from Stacy and she got me a shirt that said Mrs. Clooney.
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
And in commentary, did you notice that they show the deviled eggs on the show and you and Kendra are like going on and on and on about how much you love deviled eggs?
I love a deviled egg and you hate them.
Well, I will eat one,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like them. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't dislike them either. It's like a weird love hate thing. They stink. They stink really bad. So I know when they're in the room.
Well, yeah, you got to like get eggs in and out of wherever they are.
And I've had ones that I like, but I can't eat more than one or I'll gag. Like, but I'm just funny about eggs. Like, I like them and I'll eat them, but halfway through, I'll be like, ew, what am I eating? I'm going to gross out.
Well, there's a time and place for eggs. Like, in commentary, Kendra and I are also talking about how we went to a club one night and they decided to have deviled eggs as an hors d'oeuvre. And it's just like, no, you don't want
eggs. Ew, eggs in like your cocktail.
Just like the smell sitting around a club. No, no, no. No. So after buffet, it's present time.
Yes.
We go upstairs and there's a shit ton of presents. It's very like fantasy present opening scene.
I just remember
piles and piles of gifts.
Even in this scene, you can see it. Like you literally have to wade through the mm-hmm. presents, like stepping over things and stuff. It's like so many presents.
And tell me about your outfit, which if you guys are watching the video version on Patreon or YouTube, you can see it. But somebody on our Patreon asked about it too. They're like, Bridget, tell us about your Dickensian chic outfit. I love that. I feel like that's something I would say, Dickensian chic.
I don't know. I just had this like crazy inspiration that I needed for Christmas to have like Victorian style undergarment pajamas. And so I had a maid at Revamp, which I started getting a lot of things made mm-hmm. around this time from Revamp. I was still using Trashy too, but sometimes I wanted a kind of a different look.
Yeah.
And she specializes in vintage reproductions and she does it like to the T, like really amazing stuff. She does it for movies and plays and for people who just want to dress like mm-hmm. that. So her name's Anna Marie and she was incredible and she made these for me.
Cute.
It literally took us hours to open up presents. I bet the cameramen were like so tired of like filming us opening.
I think so too. And as far as like what we bought for each other at this point, we would make each other lists. Mm-hmm. So we would know exactly, like, I know people, because they, you know, on the show, they show Kendra not really being into gift buying. And people were asking me, did Kendra ever get you good gifts? I'm like, yeah, she got, because we wrote lists for each other and she always got the stuff. And
yeah,
we always loved our gifts. And I feel like that was like a smart way to do it. And it's interesting too, because, you know, I've said before how like the type of gifts kind of changed over the years. Like it was one way the first year I moved in, which was like mind blowing for me because I was brand new and I'd never experienced anything like that. And then in the Mean Girl era, like the purse strings really tightened and some of the Mean Girls knew that it hadn't been that way the year before. So yeah, they were really resentful. They blamed me for it, even though I had nothing to do with that. But then in the Girls Next Door era, the presents start getting really good. And I always thought that was because, well, Hef is happier than ever. He feels like we're contributing through the show. He thinks we're worth it. But as I'm watching this, I'm realizing, no, it's because he knows the presents are being opened on camera.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes.
I can't catch a break.
But I think the other stuff has a little bit to do with it too, but it's definitely because it's on camera.
Yeah. But we were getting good stuff. We were getting like diamond jewelry and
but the year
Judith
before
Lieber purses. And
the year before we didn't film it and we still got like the Jacob watches and things like that.
Yeah. We definitely started getting better presents when it was just the three of us.
Yeah.
But then this year was really good because we were opening presents on camera.
Yeah.
Although I only just realized that was why now.
And I remember being the catalyst for the diamond earrings that we got because Mary called me in the office one time and she said, Hef wants to get you girls a nice piece of jewelry for Christmas. So talk to the girls and see what you guys want. And I didn't really wear that much jewelry, really. I remember asking you guys and you guys were kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like nobody like really had like a thing. And so I just thought of just like a diamond stud earrings are like so universal. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody could wear this. So then totally. I suggested that and that's what we ended up getting. And they're beautiful.
Well, thank
you. I still have them today.
Yeah.
And then you got Hef some beautiful cufflinks that were so amazing.
Yeah, they were cute little cufflinks. They looked like the cover of the first issue of the magazine and they had diamonds around them. And of course, it was the guys who did the Playboy jewelry made those for me. So those were awesome. Of course, he never wore them. But that's not really the point, though. My point is like to give him a gift that like he gets a kick out of.
Right.
They did end up in the auction. It was sold in the auction, of course.
I figured. I was thinking that I thought it was weird that he never wore them, but then I was thinking about this more. They were, what he wore was always exactly the same, and it was very much like a uniform or a costume.
Yeah.
It was sort of like the bunny costume. Like, you couldn't have switched the cufflinks out to those or something because it wouldn't have been the standard, you know, issue thing. And he was very much like that, too.
I feel like almost all the guys I've dated do what I call a superhero closet, which is like a closet of a fuck ton of clothes, but it's all the same outfit.
And it's their image closet.
100%.
It's not like just a regular closet. It's just, this is my whole image right here. This is who I am. And I don't vary from this.
Yeah. Because Hef was like that. My ex-husband was like that. He dresses more varied now. Like he's a lot more in. But when we were married, it was like he had a whole closet of just all the same shirt. And all the same pant. And then like Zach was like that too. It's all the same black thermal and all the same black cargo pants.
Crazy.
I don't know what it is.
Huh.
I love a man in uniform.
I guess so. And I got a pink laptop. And even when I see myself opening that, I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute.
It does look really cute.
And Kendra got the most amazing Judith Lieber.
The like, Chargers head purse?
Yes.
I think that was my idea. I think I found that.
I have to say that you definitely had to, if it wasn't from you, it had to have been like recommended by you.
Yeah, I love those bags. I always had like the Disney ones and stuff.
Those, wait, explain to people that don't, might not know.
Oh, the Judith Lieber bags are like the rhinestone, like little clutch bags that look like other things. And then there's another brand that does them too, Catherine Bauman. And she would actually do like the Disney ones and the Playboy ones and stuff, but
we got Playboy bunny ones from the Catherine Bauman, and those were pretty incredible.
Yeah,
I still have that one. I'll have to bring it maybe next time because I have it at the house too. You know what, though? There was a giant like black stone for the eye, and that came off. But the rest of them are there. Yeah. But I could still show you guys what it looked
you
like.
Probably ticket to one of her stores or something. And
get does she have stores like around?
She did. I don't know. I think she's still in business.
And then we all got faux fur jackets.
Yeah.
And Hef has to make the comment that no foes were injured in these.
No foes.
And Hef gets these candy. And of course, I have to have a piece because I am the foodie.
Oh, yeah.
No, we all have a piece, but...
And Kendra gives him the toilet paper man, which he thinks is really funny. And then you hear a voiceover of me going, where's his wiener? And I think that has to be a voiceover coming from... I don't think I said that about the toilet paper man.
Oh, I thought you did because his pants were down.
Oh, maybe.
I think you did say it.
Really?
I thought so.
Huh.
I mean, you would recognize it more if it was a soundbite that was added in later.
It seemed very soundbite-ish. I don't know. It's hard to say.
So that's possible. But yeah. I feel like it's something you would have said at that time because his pants are down and the toilet paper roll is in front of where his penis would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a question. Where is it?
Like, yeah.
Is there one under there? And then we all kiss and thank each other. And Holly says, I think this is the best Christmas yet. And Hef says, well, I knew that before even opening the presents.
Which I thought was an interesting comment. Like, is that supposed to imply like we're materialistic, or did he think I was saying that, or somebody was saying that because of the presents?
Oh, I didn't take it that way. I took it as that, yes, these presents were all incredible and stuff, but I was just as happy before we even opened them. Like, it's been an amazing year. I'm really happy with the relationships. And I just took it as, like, everything was great even before the presents. And now we have all these amazing presents, too.
Yeah, it definitely was the best Christmas we had at the mansion so far.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy to think about this in our journey, especially since we have, like, a couple more seasons to go, is this was already our second to last. We would only have one more Christmas there after this one.
Wow, that's
crazy. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I mean, I was there in 2008 at Christmas time, but I didn't spend it with them.
Yeah.
Well, I was technically still living there.
Do you remember anything about the 2007 Christmas? It's all kind of a blur.
Not off the top of my head.
Like, you'd think I would remember like some real standout gift or something, but
I don't even remember what I wore.
Yeah.
I know this sounds dumb, but if I see what I wore to something, a lot of times that triggers all my memories. I'm like, oh, I totally remember this event now. But like, I can't even think of what I wore to Christmas in 2007. So I'll have to figure that out first, and then maybe all my memories will unload from there.
Right.
Our scrapbooks, but we didn't film Christmas again, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So the scrapbooks will help me to remember what was going on. Yeah, so we're all giving each other a hug, and then the camera pans to the outside, and you hear us say Merry Christmas, and Silent Night is playing in the background, and it's very, like, cozy and sweet, and, like, it's kind of like a magical ending.
Yeah. Before we get into, we have some emails to read to you that'll give you guys a little insight into how the show, you know, was crafted and created. But before we get into that, should we do best and worst before we get into the behind the scenes? I didn't write down what my best and worst were, so I kind of have to think about it.
Oh, okay.
Did you write down?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, my worst is hands down Kendra's refusal to participate. My best is that I think it truly was one of the best Christmases ever. Like, I think it was incredible. The snow, just everything about it. Like, it just felt like we were in a really good space at that time. The show was doing really well. I had thought that things were going well with Kendra. I mean, obviously not in this episode, but I had thought, like, personally, things were fine between everybody. And I just think it was a really special time at the mansion. All the girls next door, like literally the girls like across the street, I should say. I just felt like everything, we were all very close. It was like this big extended family. And I really felt like kind of the love and the closeness and the coziness and the security at that time. Like, I just felt like everything was going really, really well.
Yeah. Best for me, I mean, I love the whole episode. Like I said, this is one of the first episodes I really feel connected to and really, really like and like was excited to watch. But if I had to pick like one favorite part, I think it's the beginning where it shows like my Christmas village and my Christmas tree and the gingerbread house, because I loved doing those things so much. And I just love that they got documented, not just in photographs, but on camera. Like, it really brought me back, I think, in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. Least favorite, I kind of struggle to even think of what's a least favorite, because I really do like this episode so much. And I feel like it was so, despite what might have been going on behind the scenes, it looks very positive from like a viewer perspective and everything. But the only thing I could think of that while watching it as a viewer is kind of like, ugh, is Hef just has a couple cringy moments, like when he's going too hard on licking the lollipop. I felt like that could have been toned down a little bit. And like the funny line he said at the dinner table just aged a little poorly.
Yeah.
Aged like milk. And I just, like, as a viewer watching that, those are the parts that I was like, ugh. But those are so minor. Like, I really have to say, like, I love this episode.
Yeah.
Like, that, those worsts are, like, me struggling to look for a worst.
Yeah. I also love the time lapse on my, putting up my Christmas tree. Yeah,
because, I mean, that documents a very real part of your life, and it's fun to have that footage.
Yeah. So I do love that part.
So should we do a little dramatic read?
Yes.
So how it works with the editing of a show is, like, the producers will do an edit, they'll send it to the network, and then the network will have notes and they'll kind of go back and forth until they arrive at something they really like. So these emails are between our executive producer, Kevin Burns, and someone at the network. And this person at the network he's communicating with wouldn't be there for all of Girls Next Door. He was there for like the first half of it or so, but he's still on at the beginning of season three. And this was really interesting to me. I should probably even say this before I read it, because when we talk about like kind of Kendra getting so much support from production and kind of being favored in certain ways, I always really blame that on Kevin, because in the spinoff years, he went so hard for her in a way that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, Kevin's actually like sticking up for all of us. And it's like this one person at the network who like has a weird thing for Kendra.
Yeah.
So that was really eye-opening. So Kevin says, here is my reply to your notes. Because Kevin's already got a list of notes. And Kevin loved the Christmas episode. Like I said, it was the first episode he showed up in the field to like look at what was happening in real time. So I feel like I'm reading this and he's already like annoyed that the network even dared give him notes on this. So here's my reply to your notes. I'm very pissed. I'm sorry you and somebody else at the network hate the show. I wonder if they really said they hated it or he's being dramatic.
I think they probably had such a long list of things that seemed like they hated it.
But there's nothing much I can do but cut 2 minutes out. Adding more talking heads will not improve things. It is what it is. I will not make arbitrary changes, especially when I love it as it is. Fire me or cancel the show. I don't care. This is the worst I... Oh my God. This is the worst experience I've ever had with you on the series. So, wow, the network was really hating the Christmas episode.
Yes.
So then they write back to him. Let's talk again in the AM after we've mulled all this over. They've poked the bear. Here are the notes on the two episodes. Girls Next Door, episode 301. The episode can be 2 minutes shorter and still be okay for us in terms of time. Please use these 2 minutes to tighten the show up. Also, as I said, adding emotional insight into the girls would be a great beneficial. It would be great to tie the scenes together with a story. Yes, each scene is about Christmas. That makes it a backdrop, but not a story that is advanced scene to scene. As I said slash wrote last time, I think we could put a clock on the situation that would just help give the show some momentum. Not a stressor that would get everyone all worked up, but something that would give everyone something to do. You know, I don't hate this note. I don't think the note was needed. Like, I think viewers are invested enough in Girls Next Door that just seeing what we do for Christmas kind of is fine. Like, that is what it turned out to be. And I really like the episode. But I get where the network is coming from. Like, you do need a story and like a driving force. Kevin, all caps, show has a story. This note does not make sense. It's Christmas. Everyone knows what's involved. Wrapping, decorating, etc. Adding comments won't improve. We'll lose 2 minutes from the open.
And all of that, I know you already said it, but I just want to emphasize all of that was in capital letters. Yeah, so he's yelling.
Pissed. And then the network says, Kendra still feels a bit weak in this episode. If we get a few more interview bites with her, we can balance it out. Kendra didn't participate. Can't fake or cheat this. And I think this is important to note, because the fact that Kevin is admitting to the network that Kendra was out of his control is a very rare thing. Like after our Becca interview, I noticed some comments on the Patreon where, because Becca was talking about how difficult Kendra was. And I noticed some comments on the Patreon saying, well, if Kendra was so difficult, why does she keep getting these TV shows? That doesn't make sense. And I have to say, I've wondered that question myself.
Me too.
But it's because the network doesn't care. They care about two things. They either care about ratings or the overall direction they want to take their network. And does the show fit into that? They're not on the ground floor with the producers, with the field producers, having to like drag somebody out of their room. They probably don't even know what's going on. So that doesn't factor into whether or not she gets a show.
And they're only seeing the way she's edited. They're not seeing the true person and how difficult they're being to like participate, to film, to do anything.
Then they say, cold open, could shorten a hair. Sarah's last word is swallowed and lost, at least on my television. All caps, cold open is fine, won't shorten. Sarah's words will be clear in the mix. The music here, Holly and Hef talking about the mansion diorama, is a bit too Disneyland. Will, look at this. He's pissed. Like, these are very, like, bland notes, and he hates it. Why isn't Kendra on the cards? I wasn't sure watching this. Is there a line about this? What do they mean, on the cards? Was there something in the show maybe that was cut that didn't make it?
Next thing it says, Kevin in all caps, card scene will be cut out.
And then he says, I'm tired of getting this note. Kendra doesn't. Oh, we must have been doing cards for the staff.
Yes.
Remember how we would get like Starbucks gift certificates and cards for the whole staff?
Yes.
And of course, Kendra didn't want to participate in that either.
Right.
Kendra doesn't do the cards. The girls don't do everything together. That's the point of the series. Everyone knows this already. Hef didn't pick three friends to sleep with. The girls are individuals, not triplets. Which I am shocked that Kevin's sticking up for us in this way. Like, I had it twisted. Not to say Kevin wouldn't be a villain later, but I kind of had it twisted, I gotta say.
Well, you know what? He was at the mansion on this day and he saw it firsthand.
That's true. That's a good point.
And he also tried to talk to her and couldn't. And so he's seen the struggle. He saw it.
Yeah. If we stop every episode to explain why one didn't do this and the other didn't do that, we'll bore the shit out of the audience. Example, why didn't Kendra make dog cookies? Can we have her talk about this? Etc. Okay, back to the network. We go right from Bridget researching snow to baking dog cookies. I'm missing Kendra here. It would be great to put a Kendra scene in here and break it up. We can split the later Kendra scene where she gives her dog the cupcake and then call her mom regarding Hef's gift and have her call her mom about Hef's gift here, which to me sounds like a fucking snore.
And it's just them looking for something, for reasons to add her.
We don't have more with Kendra, period. Also, the cookie scene goes on way too long. Could be trimmed. Fine, we'll cut this too. Which explains why the cookie scene is only on the DVD and not in the network cut, which we talked about last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just a thought. Instead of having a thought bubble come up of Hef's laugh, maybe we could cut a little laugh off between Hef and Kendra. So we are cutting back and forth between the two of their iconic laughs. Could be fun. No, terrible idea. But when you take over the show after I leave, you can suggest things like this to Mr. Hefner. Can I say it was RJ's costume left over from a party, meaning Ron Jeremy? Would that be funny? Don't want to be gross, but if it's funny, then it could be good. Kevin, no. I wonder why Kevin was so anti. Did he just think that was too, like, gross for Playboy to say that a porn star left his jizzy costume there?
I think so. I think Kevin was grossed out by Ron Jeremy, so.
I'm surprised it was the network that was wanting that more than Kevin. You'd think they'd be like, oh, we're already on the edge of this Playboy thing. Let's not put a jizzy.
Oh, I think E wants to add any kind of celebrity person that they can add to make it salacious.
I love seeing the kids get their gifts. This is a really great scene. We should get a bite about them not wanting to go because that would have taken the spotlight off of Christmas.
Which
oh, meaning the kids with the gifts. Okay. We did this. It's in there. Holly or Bridget says we wanted them to think the gifts came from Santa. Didn't you see this?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Spraying snow takes way too long. We can tighten that up. No. I love that Kevin is just going balls out.
For this.
Like, I'm loving this. Again, I miss Kendra. Instead of Holly or Bridget setting up that they are going to the Playmate house in a bite, let's have Kendra do that. I didn't even realize Kendra is in this scene until much later in it. No, Kendra doesn't participate. Can we get a funny Kendra bite about the snow? We have great Holly and Bridget bites. No, this is a great bite about Kendra and the snowboard, but it doesn't pay off until a bit later. Maybe we can move this so that after her bite, we actually see her ripping it up on the snowboard. Right now, it's a bit of an island. No, the sequence is perfect. We're not changing it. Hef is cut off mid-sentence, it seems. No, Kevin's just given up. He's no to every no. Yeah. He's so fucking done. Instead of ending the sequence with Kendra snowboarding, can we sprinkle her throughout? It feels like this sequence should end on the group picture with the snow Hef. This would also help make it feel like Kendra was part of the action earlier.
It's like, let's make her look like she participated the whole time, even though she refused.
Yeah. No. Finally, a laugh. I love it. Glad you liked something. Can we get a bite that intros this scene of the girls and Hef opening presents? Something like every year after it's all said and done, it's just us girls and Hef. While we love all the parties and gift giving, et cetera, what we really love is our alone time together. It's the first time in the episode that the girls are alone with Hef, and it would be nice to highlight that point. It would be nice to hammer home that they are a family, especially since this feels a little detached from one another during most of the episode. No, don't need to keep hammering the obvious. Let's stop wanting every moment telegraphed by tedious exposition. This is the show's third season. People get it. I love the intercutting of these bites regarding the billions of gifts. Good. The present opening scene drags a bit. Sorry. And then the scene 303. Is that about episode 303, Marie Antoinette?
I'm not sure.
Ooh, we got material for Marie Antoinette, so we'll save that.
Oh, wait, but there's more on 301 in here. The final page.
So kind of the final note from Kevin is final cut of Girls Next Door number 301 looks great. The trimming of the 2 minutes helped the missing Kendra problem a lot. So I guess the original edit, which maybe is what ended up on DVD, looked like it was less Kendra heavy than the final one. But even watching that one that included like the dog cookie scene and stuff, I didn't even feel like we were missing Kendra. I felt like they did a really good job of like sprinkling her throughout.
Mm.
Also love the strategic recut of end of act two and addition of new sledders at top of act three, including Dave Comtois and Emma Shot. So I guess that's where you're seeing like the editors and stuff.
Yeah.
Gives more energy. Only notes are as follows. Copyright notice is missing from final shot. Please fix. Music cue under Gingerbread House is still not right. I lose the Christmas music here and put in something more generic and fun. Christmas music is best when broken up a bit, like when we see Kendra, etc. Also, Holly is describing a theft of sorts. Maybe something playful that underscores the pseudo drama. Thoughts?
Wait, why do they say now onto the strip tease and the cut down version? What does the strip tease mean?
Super tease. Super tease is like
the
big.
Super tease. I write it as strip tease.
That's where your mind is. Yeah, that's like the big
yes.
Promo.
Okay, yes, I know what a super tease is. I saw strip tease. confirms so much. And also validate so much that we said.
Totally.
I mean, people can listen to us talk about it all day long and sit here and say we're mean or we're just being hard on Kendra and make up excuses or whatever. But now you're seeing proof also from the network.
Yeah.
And how it was being pushed and what Kevin was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And then what the producers had to deal with. And then what we had to deal with. Like, I feel like it's kind of breaking it down on all the different levels.
100%. I'm so glad we got that insight.
Me too. And I didn't even read the ones for the next episode, but I'm glad they're in there.
Me too. I can't wait. Or not next episode, but Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, Marie Antoinette. Yeah.
So yeah, that was our one and only Christmas episode of Girls Next Door.
It's fascinating.
I like it a lot.
I love the episode.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I like it. I like a lot of things in season three. I'm excited about the Star Wars stuff. I'm excited about the horseback riding. I'm excited about my birthday. I'm excited about working at the studio. I'm excited about our calendar. Like, there's so many things.
Yeah. When I think back, though, on this episode, one of the things that I think of first when I think about the snow is the drama that we had to deal with. So it kind of marred it, even though I wasn't even necessarily a part of it. Mm-hmm. like it didn't involve me. It involved me, but didn't involve me. It involved all of us. But it's one of the first things I think about when I think of the snow and that Christmas, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a really strong start to a really good season. I thought the episode was great. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. And I think that there's a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. All right. So we'll see you guys next week. If you guys would like more content, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
For more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel.